this is a very powerful spiritual march.
Several thousand American Indians march into Washington, D.C. tomorrow, continuing a journey that began at Alcatraz Prison last year. Coordinators of this so-called longest walk say that the marchers have been educating other Americans about Indian culture. But the walk also has a political motivation. Leaders of the American Indian movement say it's a protest against legislation that would end Indian self-determination. The issue of who should control Indian affairs, the federal government or tribal leaders, has existed since the Delaware Indian Nation signed the first treaty with the United States in 1778. More recently, in 1973, 200 armed supporters of the American Indian movement clashed with government agents at Wounded Knee, South Dakota. Again, the issue was self-determination. NPR's Faith Fancher has a report.
One or two people in Little Bighorn Bunker have been hit. It's impossible to get a medic out because the firing is so heavy. Government forces monitoring Wounded Knee radio are aware that the people are hit.
The bunker from RB4.
What you're hearing is some of what happened at Wounded Knee. When American Indian Movement supporters finally surrendered after 70 days, 300 people had been arrested, an undetermined number had been wounded, and two American Indians, Lawrence Lamont and Frank Clearwater, were dead. The American Indian Movement, known as AIM, had proclaimed them martyrs for the cause of Indian rights. Indictments, trials, investigations, and more militant demonstrations followed. But the American Indian Movement had succeeded in its fight to make other Americans aware of the Indian struggle for self-determination. What does self-determination mean? To Indians, it means having control of their own schools, hospitals, courts, and natural resources on their own land. It also means having control of anyone else who lives on that land. But to whites, self-determination means they could be subject to Indian law if they live on Indian lands, and they say that would mean a complete loss of their rights. Sympathetic lawmakers, most of them from Western states with large Indian populations, put together legislation designed to update the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. That 1934 law set out Indian rights and responsibilities. 2 years after Wounded Knee, Congress changed the law and gave Indians more rights to self-government. Senator Henry Jackson, a Democrat from Washington State, praised Congress for passing what he called progressive legislation. He said the bill lifted the heavy hand of federal paternalism, which had dominated the lives of Native American Indians. The new law set up an administrative process allowing Indian tribes to gain control of federal programs on their reservations. It took educational, health, and business affairs out of the hands of local bureaus of Indian affairs and gave tribal leaders those responsibilities. In Rayma, New Mexico, Navajo Indians took over the running of an Indian high school. Students said it was the first time they'd been introduced to their own culture instead of white culture.
The elementary students are now learning Navajo. Slowly but surely we're getting back into our old and learning to our culture. And another thing is weaving class. We never had weaving class at the BIA. We had nothing. We didn't even have anything. We had things about whites that would lead us more into being more white. But we can't change. We can't change. We're always Indian. We'll always be Indians.
Most Indian activist groups agree that the recent Self-Determination Act was important, but they say it was only a first step. They maintain that while the programs look good on paper, the federal government's Bureau of Indian Affairs, BIA, still had a lot of control over the money. David Gipp was director of the American Indian Higher Education Consortium in 1975.
The wastage is what, and the mismanagement and the poor red tape kinds of things that the BIA or other structures have set up is really what causes a major problem, a major dilemma for Indians themselves, you know. And when you talk about Indian control, the Indians at the end, in the community are the ones who see the least results and feel the least results of those appropriations.
At the same time Congress passed the Self-Determination Act, it also appropriated $2.5 million for further study of Indian problems. The commission of three senators, three representatives, and five American Indians was told to find out how far Congress should go in allowing Indians to manage their own affairs. The commission issued its report last year, recommending to Congress that broader self-determination legislation be passed. But that has not happened. In fact, legislation introduced in Congress in the past year has sought to do just the opposite. Why this apparent about-face in congressional thinking? Indian supporters say Congress has been influenced by white backlash. As early as 1975, South Dakota Senator James Abares blamed whites for some of the problems Pine Ridge Indians were having with self-government.
There is a great deal of external meddling by whites who live around the reservations who are demanding state jurisdiction, and there's only one reason for that, the state has control, those people might have more influence on the Indian people and their property down there.
Indian groups say the white backlash is concentrated in a group called the Interstate Congress for Equal Rights and Responsibilities. It's made up of local organizations in some 26 states. Most members of the Congress live on lands that once were Indian and that Indian tribes are now trying to reclaim. Richard Reed is president of the Congress. He lives on land that once was Indian territory in Poplar, Montana. Reed says his organization is not challenging Indian rights.
When they say self-determination, fine, we can go along with that. We'll allow them their right to self-determine their own destiny. But what they say is self-determination has a different definition to them. When they start pushing for tribal sovereignty and tribal jurisdiction over all residents, that's no longer self-determination. That's total control over other people, and we cannot we will not stand for that.
What concerns Reed is that if Indians win control of his land, he may be subject to their laws. There are 11 bills being offered in Congress that would amend Indian self-determination. One, by Representative Jack Cunningham of Washington, would void all the treaties that ever existed between Indians and the federal government. Congressman Cunningham says Indians should not be treated differently. They should be made full citizens with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities of other American citizens. The Interstate Congress, while it doesn't support the Cunningham measure, says that may be the ultimate solution. But members of the American Indian Movement say the bill is an attempt by whites to end all Indian self-determination. Clyde Belcourt is the founder of AIM.
All of these bills are designed to wipe out the sovereign rights that we do now have as tribal governments, and to put the government, put us in direct, force us into a situation where we'll have to rely on the government for the rest of our lives.
Two other less radical pieces of legislation are being sponsored by Democratic Representative Lloyd Meads, also of Washington. Both of them are being supported by the Interstate Congress. One bill would suspend Indian ownership of water rights on Indian lands. A new system would be set up to allow Indians and others to make claim to those water rights. The second bill would allow Indian tribes a limited power of self-government. But if a criminal or civil dispute involving a non-Indian occurs, local or state laws would take precedent. Congressman Mead says his bill is a step toward preserving Indian culture.
If Indian tribes were to be given absolute total jurisdiction over non-Indians on reservations, at that point it seems to me that the dominant society would have such a stake in what that jurisdiction did, whether it was a court, whether it was a legislative council to hear and determine, they'd have such a stake that they'd have to become a part of it. And that then would defeat the very purpose for allowing Indians to have self-government in the first place, which is to maintain their uniqueness, their own characteristics, their own heritage, their own culture.
AIM spokesman Clyde Belcourt disagrees.
Right now they're living on our land, they're killing our people, they're exploiting our people, and there's no way that we can try them or take them to court or punish them. And so it's practically legal in some areas, like in South Dakota, to still kill an Indian today. And we want jurisdiction over them when they're on our land, utilizing and exploiting our resources.
AIM supporters are most worried about the Meads legislation. They say it has a better chance in Congress. A majority of lawmakers may see Meads bills as a compromise and vote for them. Right now, the Indians are on the road to Washington, D.C. to make sure that doesn't happen. I'm Faye Fancher in Washington.